the Arthropod. The Arthropod is the home for the wonderful, weird, wacky world of insects. Hosted by Jonathan Larson, Jody Green, and Michael Scavarla.
Welcome back, everybody, to Arthropod, your entomology podcast. I am one of your hosts for the day, Dr. Jonathan Larson of the University of Kentucky.
And I'm another one of your hosts. I'm Jody Green from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
And I'm the last host, Michael Scavarla of Penn State University.
I feel like a jerk. I said doctor.
You earned that title. It's fine.
It's true, yes. I guess.
Do you want me to do mine over?
No.
I'm Dr. Jody Green with the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. No, I cannot look at your rash.
That's true. We don't want to look at rashes. I got introduced as Dr. Larson this morning, so it was in my head. Welcome to the, as always, expertly introduced Arthropod, your entomology podcast. Today is a very special episode that we are extremely excited about. Some of us are apparently very stressed about the 100th episode spectacular. This has been a long time coming. Arthropod has been around in some form or another since 2014, and we have just now reached 100 episodes. There's been bumps in the road along the way, but I'm very proud and I'm very excited that we've gotten here today. And we have lined up a show where we're going to try and talk about some happy things, right, guys?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's still a pandemic, and Who doesn't need happy stuff?
I know I do,
which is why I suggested the topic.
We are a happy show, Jody. You're right. We are, by and large, a happy show, but we are also a show that focuses a lot on pests. If you think back to the last few episodes, there's been a couple where we've had to talk about what is it and how do we kill it several times. And so today, I kind of was hoping that we could talk about things in entomology that bring us joy, bring us some happiness, kind of clear those gray skies away for us, like Mike was talking about, and make us feel grateful. I was hoping we could talk about some of the things about the show that make us feel grateful. A concept that I learned about from my friend Jody Green about gratefulness. What is it that you were listening to that taught you about why it's important to practice this gratitude?
Oh, well, it was like an ologies podcast show about, gratitude.
What is gratitude?
But the game that we played, the Rose Thorn Bud, my daughter has played that at summer camp and different places. So she has been practicing gratitude without even knowing it. Because when I told her about what we did, she's like, yeah, Mom, we do that all the time. And so
the kids are all right.
I think it's a great thing to do with kids because, as you will soon find out, when your kiddos start going to school, when they come home after a whole day of not seeing them, and you say, like, what'd you do today? Nothing. What'd you learn today? Nothing. And so it's like, you know, what is one thing that was a win today? Tell me your favorite thing or something that was great. So then you get to hear a great story from their opinion and their, you know, what they thought was just so wonderful, whether it's like, it's usually recess or snacks. And then, you know, what is one rose thorn? What's a thorn? So what maybe didn't go so well? And then you can hear about that and you can build them up, talk about it. And then the last thing is, what's a bud? Like, what do you look forward to? And then it gives them something to look forward to in the future. And then you kind of are on the radar or something that you can ask about the next day. And so I found that really helpful, especially with a shyer child at the time. Now I can't get her to shut up.
Jeez. I didn't know the name. I don't know if you, I remember you using the name on us when you unleashed this psychological thing on us the last time you did it.
Oh, well, I'll look up so we can give credit to the author there.
Perfect. Well, I'm excited about this. I think this is going to be great. We appreciate everybody that's tuned in over the years to listen to Arthropod. This has been a lot of fun, I think, for us professionally. It's been something that's rewarding. It's been something that's weird at times and maybe stressful at times, but it's also something I know that we all look forward to. And Jody, I thought maybe you could lead us off with a funny story that you recently experienced at Pest World that involved the podcast.
Yeah. So I'm very grateful for this podcast. I'm grateful for the two of you. I wonder sometimes if Jonathan ever regrets asking us, like, do you ever think, man, I should not ask Jody, like Mike and so-and-so should have been better. Or maybe I should have gone on my own because This is out of hand.
I do not feel that way. I like that you think though that I had like a multitude of draft picks available to me, that like I had the pick of the litter or something.
Or were you just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Who do I like that I can stand long enough? Or I don't know. But I'm always I hope that you've not regretted that decision, because actually the more we do it, the longer it goes, the more it becomes a part of my life. And I'm so grateful for it. And it comes up like every day. And this is my example. So I was at Pest World. It's as amazing as it sounds, like Disney World, but for pests. I love it. I love it actually more than Disney World. So it's put on by the NPMA, so National Pest Management Association. We won't talk about pests here, but I was there and I was giving a talk. And I was at a mixer, though, a Pi Chi Omega mixer, which is the pest management fraternity that I've been part of for many years. And I was introduced to a student, and I said who I was and that I worked for Extension. And this student made a comment about the stories in Extension, how great, I listened to this podcast, it's really good, you should listen to this podcast. And I said, oh, what's it called? And he said, Arthropod. And I was like, with a dash, like I didn't know what to say. I felt so weird. And he said, yeah, Arthropod. And I said, well, I'm one of the co-hosts. And he seriously, like, I don't know if he grabbed me, but I want to say like his face was like just so bright. And he was like, oh my gosh, this makes like my whole day or night or trip or whatever. And he was like, it is you. Now, like, that's your voice.
Wait, I hear it.
Did he not get it when you said, hey, I'm Jody Green?
Like, no. And I don't know if my name badge, like, he had no idea. And
that's very funny.
Yeah. Like, and then I was like, I can't wait to text those guys and tell them what happened. Because I really don't get a lot of feedback. I mean, here in Nebraska, like, there's not a lot that I hear back about it. I don't know who listens. We put it out there. I know we have subscribers. Thank you. And I just feel so grateful. Like after, I was like, you know, we really need to thank our listeners, because I don't think we do enough. And I, you know, so thank you for listening. And I so appreciated someone saying something to me. And then the next day I was presenting, and they had NPMA interns who are also students, which I was an intern back in the day as well. And one of those students did see my name badge, and she recognized me from the podcast. And she also lit up. And so, yeah, shout out to Chris and Maria.
That's awesome.
That it warmed my heart. And I, you know, sometimes we're tired. Like, this is not something we do for money. It's hard for the three of us to find time to do this and come up with, it's tough, right? And it's work related, but not really. I don't know. You guys can describe that later. But, you know, to be able to hear that, it just made me think, okay, we need to keep going. Let's think of more shows. You know, and I got pretty jazzed about trying to find new topics and new people to interview this for, you know, 2022.
Absolutely. Yeah. That feedback is always really special. It's always heartwarming when somebody walks up and is like, oh, hey, your voice. I remember that happening at some meeting. Somebody turned around and looked at you and I, Jody, and they were like, why do I know your voices? And then they read our back. Do you remember that? I think it was maybe NCB or something.
I don't know. But even my brother-in-law, when I see him, he's like, oh, sorry, I'm just used to listening to you at like 1.5 speed. And I'm like, thanks.
Oh, he speeds us up. He tries to get through the show.
Like, is he saying we talk too slow? But he's like, oh, I'm just so used to listening to you guys at 1.5 speed. I probably wouldn't even be able to recognize like your voices.
That's hilarious.
So, but he loves Mike.
Aw, that worked. Yeah, like the
history stuff. He loves the history stuff. Napoleon.
Big old heart yeah. Emoji. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Yeah, it's always awesome when people come up and say thanks or say hey. And tell us that they listen to the show. I also appreciate the emails that we've gotten. There've been a few this year that I think we've highlighted that were really kind and special to us. People that leave behind reviews on iTunes, even if they don't like the show, I think that's important to tell folks about what it is they're getting into. And I mean, there's been some valid criticisms lobbed our way over the years. So I appreciate all of it. I like it when people feel something after they listen to the show. I know we have about 1,000 subscribers. We joked about a while back that we're big in Denmark. Supposedly our show is one of the highest rated biological sciences podcasts in that country. I don't know if that's true at all, but if it is, big shout out to Denmark. It is a lot of fun just to get that kind of feedback. It's something to be very appreciative of. So this is the rose, right? Is this what you would say that was? Or the flower? What'd you call it? What are the three
things? Yeah, no, that would be the rose.
Okay. Mike, but do you have a rose for the show or?
Ooh, like specifically related to the show?
Yeah, maybe let's do that at this point. Like something that we're grateful for over the last year or two with the show, or even you guys joined up back in 2017. So it can go all the way back to then.
I dug through the archives trying to think of like what my favorite episode has been. And there's been a couple, like I really enjoy getting people on here to interview them. I think the interview episodes are some of my favorite ones. And especially people that I think are doing neat research. We can get that out in a package that is like available to the public. I like that part of it, but I think of all of the episodes we've done interviewing Sophia from the Bug Girl book, I think that is still my favorite one. She was so sweet and came on and I just really enjoyed having her on and talking to her about her book and her experiences. As much as I like talking to scientists and research, I think that was my favorite moment from all of the shows that we've done.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's one that's like, it fills you with hope for the future.
Right. It was. Yeah. I do know, thinking about people that listen to the show, there have been a couple of grad students here that listen and tell me every now and again, like, oh, I listened to X episode and like this part was really cool. So I don't get a whole lot of chances to interact with students here because, you know, I'm extension and I'm either at home at this point because there's a pandemic or like locked in my office. So it's always I love talking to the students. And when they tell me that kind of stuff, it's like, oh, my gosh, thank goodness somebody listens. Like. I'm glad that somebody's getting something out of this.
You're not just recording into the ether. That's not what you want to do.
Yeah. And Jody kind of hinted at it, like, you know, we do this kind of on work time and say like, yeah, we record a podcast for work because we're extension folks and that's what you do. And like, I put like our end of year numbers on my reviews and stuff when I, you know, my end of year reviews, when my boss department head tells me like, yeah, you're doing a good job. Or like, you're not doing a good job. You better step it up. It never comes up. Like I put the numbers out there and they just kind of go in a file somewhere. So like professionally here, I have no idea if anybody at Penn State, like as far as in terms of like, you know, my reviews or my promotion and tenure and that kind of stuff, anybody cares. So when the listeners care, like that's enough for me to be like, okay, let's keep going.
That's a good note. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's important to have those folks that tell you it got listened to because you're right. Once it starts going into administration, that's a big black hole that you don't know if anything's going to come out the other side for.
Yeah. And the time that we record, it's, I mean, yeah, that's on work hours, but all the time for researching and looking things and reading things up and contacting people and then editing for me is usually weekend when I have, or like late at night when there's no one bothering me.
Yeah, we're salaried anyway. So, I mean, technically, if you get into like the real capitalist sense of it, we're working all the time as extension people.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was going to pick something out that I'm grateful for with the show over the last, I don't know, however long, since 2017, I might actually point to this year, to 2021, as I know it's been a tough year for a lot of reasons, but I actually think podcast wise, this has been our best year ever. The three of us as a trio kind of going into this. We took a big break at the end of 2020 and that we had really great reasons for doing that. But I also felt like we were at this point where the show could go one way or the other, which would be either it died because it had run its course, or we would pick it back up and maybe really run hard with it. And I thought we did that this year. I thought that 2021, we've hit this real groove. We produced a lot of excellent content. I'm really grateful for everything that Mike did to produce the historical series that we did focused on Napoleon. Thought that was amazing. And I hope that more and more people will pick it up and appreciate it, just because I know how much effort went in behind the scenes to make those 5 or 6 episodes. And we got a great guest out of it. I was very appreciative of everybody that joined us from the world of science and all over. We interviewed people from all over the place. We interviewed a lot of great scientists with great programs. We got to hear about conservation programs with the American burying beetle. We got to talk to Erica and talk about flies, all these different amazing people that we met and got to hang out with. And I just felt like the shows had felt more natural this time around, that we came back from our little break and it seemed like we were more in sync with each other and we were feeling better about the show, I guess. And so I appreciate that we all stuck with it and that you guys keep putting up with my emails and my constant text messages and everything, like, hey, did we do this? Did we pick this? I know that I do voting and surveys and I don't want to be a dictator, but I do appreciate when you guys are willing to pick things and come up with cool ideas. So I think this year was great and I hope you do too.
Here's the thing.
We need you.
Exactly. Please tell me what to do.
Yeah. Cause then it's like, I texted you and then the text, like, I emailed you. Okay. And then I'm like, I don't even know where things are. And then you're like, did you vote? I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the last person to vote. And then I'm not.
I just wanted you to pick.
We need that.
Yeah. Like, I've got so much decision fatigue at this point. Like, a lot of it's pandemic related. Right. But a lot of it is just like work related. And like, I've got a student now and I've got to, you know, make sure he's on track and he's great. And I have zero complaints, but it's still like another person I have to think about now. And, you know, I pitch ideas for the show sometimes and people interview and
you pitched this one. I want to make that clear. This was your idea this today.
But you know, like when it's a week, like one of you picks the topic, I'm like, thank goodness I don't have to think about it. Like I can research the topic. I can come in and talk about it, but like that decision is out of my hands and it's very nice. So yeah, no, insofar as we have any kind of leadership, John is that, and I think we both appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
That's why I'm the third host.
I always like to equate these things to like famous trios or groups in literature and comic books and stuff. I've always tried to figure out who the arthropod gang is. Like, are we the Ninja Turtles? Am I Leonardo? Jody doesn't know anything about the Ninja Turtles, but
I do know about the Ninja Turtles. You know what I don't know about is Pokemon. And someone asked me about Pokemon because I wasn't on that one with you. I had to admit, like, I have no idea.
Mike and I did get to do a cool Pokemon episode last year.
Yeah.
That
was
awesome. I forgot about that. That was
So I think those are good. Those are some things that we're grateful for. That's the rose, as Jody referred to it. Do we do thorns next, Jody?
Yeah, but can you pass me? Like, I don't know.
You have a thorn?
My equipment. No, podcast my equipment. Like, I don't know. I kind of wish we could do more, but then I know that it's just not feasible. I kind of wish we were in real life. That was probably why I had the most FOMO for ESA, even though I knew you guys weren't there. I thought that it would have been really great to go and meet people and learn about who I would want to interview or what people are working on, just kind of being in the mix of it. So I felt like I kind of missed out that way. So yeah, I don't know. That didn't answer the question.
I think it answers it a little bit. You missed that we weren't in person.
Yeah, like have we done one in person?
Yeah, I mean, at ESA, there's been the three of us together. But for a long time, Mike was a robot. Now we're all robots.
Yeah.
And now we're on Zoom. We're not using Skype anymore. That's an improvement, yeah. I would argue.
That's a step up.
Can I? Well, this is the only, I told you, this is the only Zoom meetings I like. And I will release this and everyone can hear it. I don't like any of the other meetings. But
it's fine. I'm sure nobody in your office listens.
Well, they're all on Zoom. Well, they'll know that I'm not on their Zoom calls because I refuse to go to them. But I have to say that I was at a podcast recording. It's one of the sessions that I went to at MPMA because there are three entomologists that read scientific papers and will do like a 5-minute kind of thing. Each one of them does, it's called bug bites through MPMA. It's
Oh, that's so, an interesting concept.
It is. It's really cool. And they have, they introduce different people from the industry to introduce them and stuff. It's really good. And I got to see them in person. And the reason why I went, I do listen and subscribe to them, but it was just nice to see that chemistry of all of them together. And I kept thinking about us, like how fun that would be, you know, to be together and talk and, you know, I don't know, maybe that's for future goals. So I would say that's a thorn, even though I love you guys the way you are.
Yeah. We were kind of referring to, you had to invent like your hand hold up system and everything so that we wouldn't talk over each other. You mean?
Yeah. Like we're so much better now.
Oh yeah. No, we, like right. I said, I think we hit a groove. Mike, how about you? You got a thorn you'd like to share in the circle?
Yeah, we talked about this, like the setup for today yesterday. And I thought I came up with a bunch of like things I'm grateful for in entomology. I did not come up with anything, especially show related, that is an issue. So no, I don't. That's okay. Guess I know it's the same refrain, but this pandemic is like, I'm so tired all the time.
It's okay, man. This is a safe space.
Safe space with us two and our 1,000 listeners.
That's right. I think maybe you and I could riff on one, because you were kind of alluding to it earlier when you were talking about how you report things. I think that my biggest thorn with the show is that reporting and trying to get people to understand that this is a form of modern extension. I don't know how much I've harped on it on the show. I hope I'm not like a broken record or anything, but it's something that it's hard. It's hard to convince people, some people at least, that a podcast is a viable way of performing scientific communication. I know that there's a lot more buy-in, but for extension folks, I think it's hard to get them to see this as anything other than a fad or something, even though podcasts have been around for a while. I've had conversations where people don't understand how we can be peer-reviewed, despite the fact that we're using peer-reviewed publications to produce our material, and that we're three entomologists that invite on other entomologists. And so we're sort of like real-time peer-reviewing each other. You know, Mike offers corrections if I say something wrong at one point or another. Like, it's a modern way of doing these kinds of scientific meetings and getting the information out to people, of doing an extension meeting, I should say, not necessarily a scientific one. And I know I've had an administrator tell me that it was cute once. I think I've told you both about that. And that's, ouch, that really stuck in my craw for many years. And it was one of the reasons that I almost stopped doing the podcast a long time ago before you guys came aboard. Because, yeah, it just seems like it's hard to get it taken seriously. But I take this really seriously. I think that this is important. I don't want to like puff up our little podcast or anything, but scientists have to do stuff like this. We have a responsibility to try and get the word out about the things that we know and the things that we're learning. Otherwise, who's going to listen to us? Who's going to believe us when we're trying to tell them things that they need to know?
I guess I'll riff off that some more. We've mentioned it a couple of times, like we've got about 1,000 listeners. So like if I were to go to a talk and talk to that many people in person, like that's like a plenary session at the Entomological Society of America meetings. Like that's the big session. You know, in person, I think my biggest talk has probably been to 150 or 200 people in person. Some of these Zoom sessions we've been doing since the pandemic hit, I've hit 800 in like Zoom talks and stuff, which is nice because I'm certainly getting bigger audiences via remote or online talks. We are reaching a bigger audience than like most of the stuff that I do, right? But we still have zero budget, which like this podcast is run on shoestrings and bubblegum.
It's a very fair assessment.
Which is, you know, that's not a knock on it. Like, I mean, my lab budget a year is $1,000, and that's for everything. I can't afford to put anything into the podcast. But I wish that like, I kind of wish we could advertise or do something to just get that, because everything right now is word of mouth or people searching like entomology on, you know, Stitcher or iTunes or whatever, and they find us, and it's, we've grown organically, and that's great, in word of mouth, and we've grown organically, but it'd be nice to, like, I don't know, podcasts are a way to get to even more people. It'd be nice to get that audience built, but I don't know, I'm not sure how to do that, given, like, the, like, academic model of podcasting that we are in right now.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. I mean, Jody was talking about Ologies, and that's a huge podcast. I mean, that's probably the number one biology podcast that's out there, or science podcast, or at least it's in the top five. It's got to be in contention, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I think there was just, yeah, she just won an award, but she always talks about The Hidden Brain, that is the number one science podcast, which I listen to as well.
And I mean, these things, that they're part of podcast networks. They have partners. You know, at one time I played around with this idea of trying to recruit all the other bug podcasts to make some sort of entomology podcast network that promoted each other. But it is tough. I mean, like Mike said, we don't pump a lot of funds into this. The most that I've spent is the recording equipment that we've used at various times, the microphones and things. And so, I mean, that's like $200, $300 spread out over 6 years or more. So it is cheap, but it's what we can do. And having extension behind it, I thought would be powerful, but it turns out that might be a detriment, because we are sort of using that academic model, as Mike said, which is not always the most attractive model, perhaps to the average listener. Is that kind of what you were hitting on, Mike?
Yeah, kind of. Like, in
that was an evil laugh.
When I jumped in years ago, and you brought me and Jody in, their Penn State didn't have any rules for, like, podcasts that were run through the university, like official podcasts. Like, there's a reason I say Michael Scavarla, I'm with Penn State University, and that's the only time you hear Penn State, is they've got so many rules. Like, people in extension have to listen to and approve of every podcast episode you do. And I don't feel like jumping through those hoops, because they're ridiculous. And I don't know. Maybe there's resources here that we could tap into that would help, but I just...
Yeah, it's tough. There's no easy answer there. So we are doing some insider baseball here and talking about things behind the scenes with y'all that are listening. But it's stuff that we think about. And if you have ideas, or if you've considered these things yourself, or if you're a podcaster and you have success stories that you can share with how to promote these kinds of things, I would always appreciate hearing that. You know, we talk about how to get a hold of us all the time. So it would be interesting to know. I think that we've got some good stuff we've talked about in the past, and they get good hits. Mike talked about how people find us, which is generally looking up entomology podcasts and stuff. We could use some search engine optimization perhaps, but all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of pie in the sky for us at this juncture in time.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm on Stitch now, and I'm looking up the search. We come up if you put arthropod, but if you put insect or bugs, we don't come up.
Interesting. Huh. Interesting.
All of which to say, you know, I still do appreciate the audience that we do have. Like, yes. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate it very much. So we've done.
And we're terrible on our Twitter.
It's okay.
Like, I think Mike will do some good stuff there, but.
I try.
I know. But it's just like another thing that you have to.
It is. It's another thing I have to do.
Right? And you're like, where am I supposed to go? I don't know. We do try, and you know, I'm glad that people listen.
You can only do your best, right? So yeah. We've done the good, the bad. Now we got to talk about some of the upcoming, the buds, as you were referring to them before.
I have already said mine, but I did find out. I did find the podcast that I was listening to. So it's Ali Ward Ologies, and it was Awesomeology. And it was Gratitude for the Little Things with Neil Pasricha. And that was the one I listened to. And I do listen to Ologies, not all of them. I love the ones that have to do with animals and nature, of course. I love the ones that when she's interviewing entomologists. But this one, I think, really did change me because I started practicing gratitude. And you had asked, you know, what's gratitude, but like the thankfulness, slowing down and being mindful of the things around you and in the present. And I think it does lead to happiness. And so, I think it's called Osmology because he started a blog way back in the day, that was like, I don't know, just about like awesome things. And he would just post pictures of things or talk about different things that were awesome, but it wasn't because he was living happily all the time, you know? So, you know, just because you write about gratitude doesn't mean you're just the happiest person, but it's helping others to achieve that. So I don't know. I mean, there are times that we're not always happy. I don't pretend to be, but I do think it's really important to appreciate the stuff. And
I'll include a link to that. You sent us the link here. Yeah. That people can listen to, and I'll make sure that's in the show notes. I wanted to kind of tie the ribbon on this format, though, of the flower, the thorn, and the bud, and talk about some of the stuff we do have coming up for Arthropod here in the near future. We're ending 2021. We're going to have a couple of interviews coming up. I know we have Dr. Ashley Kennedy that will be joining us. And then who's our next guest after that, Jody?
Chris Hayes, who is a student at NC State. It's going to be really cool. He's done some research at Duke University with global health. And it's really, I'm going to call it the intersection between like human interaction and entomology.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Sounds like we're going to end 2021 on a high note. We have stuck with our 2 episodes a month this year. I feel like we really kind of met a life goal or what our New Year's resolution for that. And I think in 2022, we've got some good ideas for shows that are kind of percolating. I know that I've got one that I want to do, and I'll announce now, I guess. It'll be about the introduction of Limantia dispar into the United States. I want to call it Truvelo's Bad Idea and talk about how that pest got loose in the United States. It'll be kind of a historical episode like we did with Napoleon and DDT in the past. Any other ones that you guys think we want to promote now as sort of like, hey, keep us on your radar?
Well, I did meet up with some people at Past World, and you know, my first time actually being out talking to real life entomologists in different places. And so I've asked them about different things that they might want to speak on. Nancy Troiano, we had on a couple of years ago about fake news. And she came out on our podcast that her favorite arthropod is a crab. So that was her like admitting that insects are not her number one. And during the pandemic, she went through her bucket list of crabs. I know this sounds so crazy. She showed me all these pictures of all the crabs that she's found. She talks about them. I think we should have her on to talk about crabs.
Okay.
And not the crabs, not the insect crabs.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to be very specific.
They're arthropods, so that fits our arthropod theme.
Right, because we already actually had a podcast about the other crabs.
Right,
about remember? The lice.
I do remember that.
Oh, the title. Why was it?
Heads, bodies, seams, and pubes or something like that. Yeah, I was proud of that one. I'm always interested in having a crustacean expert onto the show. I think that'd be great. We are arthropod. I know that we talk about insects mostly.
Well, so, I mean, I don't know. She's not.
I know.
Technically, but she loves them more.
She's an enthusiast.
Anybody I've ever known.
She's a crustacean enthusiast. I mean, that's a step closer than we've ever been before. So.
Yeah. Oh.
Any of them. If you are a fan of any arthropod, subphylum, whatever. Let us know, crustaceans, millipedes, centipedes. If you're a horseshoe crab expert, please hit us up. I would love to do a horseshoe crab episode and then get a horseshoe crab off of that person to have as a pet.
I want the palpigrade expert to come on. We can talk about palpigrades.
Well, you'll probably have to find them for us, Mike. It seems like your area.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. That's why we need them.
So it sounds like we have another guest that we want to do in the future. I know that we've been talking about, we want to do a careers in entomology episode. We're interested in talking to folks about their jobs in entomology. If you have a job that you think is kind of unique and interesting outside of the realm of things like just being a researcher, doing extension, things we've talked a lot about on the show. We would love to have you on to have like a 10 or 15 minute conversation about how you got there. I know I'm interested in talking to folks about maybe something like the red meat allergy, coming up with better common names. These are all things that we've been kicking around. And if they're things that you are an expert in, if they're things that you want to share your expertise about, always find us and let us know so that we can have you on the show. We love it when people contact us to be on here. It does simplify our life to have somebody say, hey, I know all about that and I want to talk about it on your show. That makes life great. So please hit us up if you would love to be on Arthropod. We would love to have you.
Make our lives easier, please, people.
I think that we did a good gratitude exercise here today. I think it was a good celebration of our 100 episodes. Mike mentioned that when he came up with the idea, he thought maybe we could each share a happy story from our life and entomology. And so that's kind of what I want to end on today, is sharing something fun or happy or wholesome. Is wholesome good, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. Wholesome's good.
Wholesome's good. All right. That we can include as a story and entomology. It can be from when you were an undergrad, can be from when you were a grad student, in your career, at home, just something in bugs that makes you happy. And I know Jody doesn't want to do this.
Don't make me go first.
Okay. So do you want me to go first, Mike, or do you want to do it?
So can I say one of my favorite entomology stories, because it involves John, and then maybe you can tell the story.
Okay.
It's not like it doesn't make me feel great. But it is funny. And I guess I have the follow-up to it. But when we were undergrads collecting insects with Dr. Oseto at Purdue, I forget exactly what happened, but he said something like, oh yeah, earwigs, they have these pinchers, but they can't hurt you. And then what happened, John?
So I was trying to decide where this was going. It was either when we got Benipede, because you forgot my name and we named the centipede after the name that you had given me of Benjamin, or it was going to be the time that I was attacked and hurt by an earwig. And so what happened is we were in entomology 300 at Purdue.
It was something 300 level class.
It was a 300 level class. We were freshmen at Purdue, and Dr. Chris Oseto was our professor. We had just gone through this lecture in the lab, I think, that was like, okay, today we're going to go out and look for things in trees and bark and logs. And one of the things you might see is called an earwig. And you all should get an earwig for your collection because you need so many orders and everything for the collection. He was telling us how this was like a good addition, right? So what's their order, Mike? I'll let you do the taxonomy part. I'll do the glib story part.
They're Dermaptera.
Right. So they get their whole thing, their own thing that is set, so you can add to your total number of orders in the collection. So we go out. He's like, this tree is always loaded with the earwigs, and they're safe. They look really freaky. They have these butt pinchers. And if you get down in there, sometimes people don't want to be around. They think they're going to pinch them. But I've been teaching this class for 30 years, and nothing untoward has ever happened to a student as a result of interacting with an earwig. And so he said that, and I looked down in this tree, and there was a dead decaying area in it. And I just reached my hand down into like 30 or 40 earwigs to like scoop them out, Winnie the Pooh style, to give to all of my classmates, because I wanted to be like the earwig provider, I guess. And I got down in there, and one of them turned around and it pinched the tip of my thumb, and the hardened cerci went all the way through the tip of my thumb and touched in the middle. I could feel it. And then there's like a few drops of blood, and I pulled it out and I showed it to him. I didn't scream or anything because it was sort of in a spot that I didn't feel much, but there was a drop of blood, and Dr. Oseto was over the moon with joy at this interaction between me and an earwig, because I think he still tells that story today. From what I've heard, somebody was a TA for his class a couple of years ago, and they said, oh yeah, he was telling the story about a kid that got attacked by an earwig. And I was like, that kid is me. I was that guy. So yeah, that's one of your heartwarming entomology stories, Mike.
It's not heartwarming. I just wanted to get it recorded so everybody could listen. Cause when I was coming up with like my favorite entomology stories, that one is always towards the top. And I was like, well, it's not heartwarming, but I wonder if we can shoehorn it in.
Yeah, we can shoehorn that in.
So my wife, Sarah, who I don't think I've ever mentioned on the show. Hi, honey.
does she listen?
No.
Ronnie doesn't listen either.
That was a nice sentiment anyway.
She took the same class after we graduated. Cause she's still, maybe it's TMI for the audience, but she still had a year left after we graduated. So I moved away to start my master's research, and she stayed at Purdue. So she took, as an art major, she took entomology as an elective, to fill like the, you know, some kind of biology related class. And when she was there, Oseto knew that we were married, and Turner be like, "Hey, you know Jonathan," and then told the story.
I'm glad he remembers too.
So yeah, not heartwarming, but one of my favorite stories. And I'm glad everybody got to share in it.
That's true. Yeah. I'm happy too that now everybody knows I was attacked by some Circe at one point in time.
You mentioned it on the earwig.
Yeah, podcast. I think it was when you talked about how they're your least favorite bug, right?
Oh yeah, it was what bugs the entomologist.
Yeah. Oh, well, so then some of you may have heard the story already. Perhaps. I apologize to those folks.
Well, I think I told it better this time.
Yeah, that was like an express version. Yeah, this is like full length version.
This was the director's cut. I'll go, since I don't think Jody still wants to share a happy thing in entomology. But I was trying to pick between a couple things. I ended up going with one that I think is kind of weird and funny. And maybe Jody will remember this from when I was out in Nebraska. But in 2018, while I was still an extension agent out there, I got interviewed by the Omaha World Herald, the local newspaper, about the fall invaders, like crickets and spiders and things that come inside. And it was like a really quick interview, talked about how spiders typically don't last for very long inside. You know, they usually don't find enough food, or they were kind of on their way out anyway. And I think I tried to promote that spiders are better than most people consider them to be, like that they're things that we should appreciate a little more. And I did this interview, didn't think a second thing of it. It came out on Sunday, September 9th, 2018 in the World Herald. And I got a letter in the mail a few days later, and it was from the Nebraska State Legislature. And I was like, this is very bizarre. I wonder why the unicameral legislature of the state of Nebraska sent me mail. And it was from the senator that represents District 11 in Omaha, Nebraska, or at least he used to, a Senator Ernie Chambers. Jody, do you remember this? I got this letter.
I have received letters too from him.
You have? Oh, okay. Ernie Chambers is a cool guy. Look him up on Wikipedia. He has a very colorful history, I'll say. I believe he sued God once in a Nebraska court. He's just an interesting guy, but fights for his constituents very, very passionately. And he sent me a letter that said, "Dear Mr. Larson, I respect all living creatures, although I cannot be deemed a spider lover. I am not a spider header. The enclosed article by World Herald writer Margie Ducey was very informative, and your comments were especially worthy of note and appreciation by me." And he wrote a poem about spiders, and he sent me this poem and had some images that he had clipped from the newspaper and kind of like put around it. And so I got this poem called Spiders by Ernie Chambers, written 9/4/2018. And I won't read it because it is kind of lengthy, but it made my day, absolutely, to know that he enjoyed this little newspaper article so much that it inspired him to write a poem. And then I think a short story he had written about Mark Twain meeting a spider. So I got these two pieces of original content from a state senator in Nebraska, and a drawing of a wolf spider that he had done. I'll show that to you guys here. And it was all packaged up in the mail. And it was one of those things that was like, wow, you know, people listen. People hear things that we do or read things that we do. And it was one of those moments where you feel perceived, I guess. And I felt very happy about that. And I do sometimes break this letter out if I'm feeling down about, oh, you know, extension. Do I really reach anybody? And maybe I reach more people than I know, because I would never have guessed that Senator Ernie Chambers cared what I had to say about spiders. So I appreciate him taking time out of his day to do that.
That is amazing. Can you please write him and see if you can get permission to do a live reading of his poem for the like a special episode?
That could be
fun. Yeah, He's not in office anymore. But
that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, because it was due to term limits. But I also received, and I don't have it here because I have it at home for show and tell. Because I was, and I totally forgot. You've just reminded me because I've got a friend, Brian, who he's like, is it true that you got mail from Ernie Chambers? Because I need to see that. And then his wife is one of my best friends. She's like, you got to show Brian. You got to show Brian. It's the most amazing thing. And I was like, all right. So I brought this envelope and I totally haven't even showed them yet. It's there. But yeah, he would read things that I either got interviewed for in the paper and put a little spin on it. And he did appreciate the little things for sure. And I did actually invite him to the office. He never came, but you know, I put that out there.
I had a similar experience where they were trying to take a bunch of extension people to the legislature. They wanted to like promote extension. And it was around the time that I'd gotten this letter and they tried to get me to email him and say like, oh, hey, I'll bring my tarantula to meet you. And like to use this, I thought, very wholesome moment for the university's gain. And I really didn't want to do that. I was like, no, I think this was just kind of between me and Senator Chambers. Like, I think it was just a very nice gesture on his part. And I'm not going to use it for political reasons. Jody, that turns to you.
Well, so I guess I was... The thing is that entomology has brought like everything into my life. Like, I just really don't think I was passionate about anything. And I feel now that because entomology kind of intersects with everything, like with everyone else's lives, you see them all the time. You can't live through this life without seeing a bug, whether you hate them or love them or appreciate them. Like, and there's so many of them that you can't really hate all of them. That's what I, you know, always tell people when we're showing pictures and talking about, you know, how very few are past in this world. So to me, it's just the best. It's the best people, the best everything. And you like collaborations go on forever because, you know, I mean, even in this office, and you used to be in this office, and that could be the whole story as well. My relationship with you in terms of this was your job. You know, and just those stories. But what was I saying? Sorry, Sydney.
I've always liked your story of entomology because it sounded like you found it at a point in your life where maybe you didn't necessarily know where you were going, and then you found bugs.
Yeah, and I still sometimes never know where I'm going, but I always stop for bugs. You know, and I always think about it. And when I say like, you know, it's the little things that rule the world. It's the little things that matter. I've had so many really great interactions with people because of a question about an insect, because of just the curiosity. It's like, I think it's the only way I can even relate with kids sometimes, because I'm not a kid person. I can't even help myself from just being so ecstatic about seeing certain things. Like, and I just think those are what people remember. And when I think about the role models that maybe I didn't have growing up, and I think about the capacity for me to be a role model just by, I guess, leading by example, and it's just, you know, getting old but still staying young, because I'm still so excited about those kind of things. You know, and my daughter says like her whole life's been very educational. Her, you know, my life is like a field trip, and I have the craziest tour guide ever with me all the time. And, you know, I don't know, can I tell the story about how, like, so we all went to Purdue, and you two were very close friends and classmates, and there is a story about how Jonathan met me back in grad school, because I was old and a senior grad student, and you were like this young undergrad coming in. But, you know, you never know when you're going to meet up again. You never know who that you're going to see in the industry, at an ESA meeting, out in public, in Omaha, Nebraska, of all places. And so for the listeners, I applied for Jonathan's job, the one I have now. So I applied for this job. So I've actually applied for this job twice, but I didn't know Jonathan very well, I guess, at the time. I found out that he got this job over me because one day, as a stay-at-home mom, we were looking for something to do. And the periodical cicadas in 2015 were going to be emerging. And I was like, we got to go see this. And in some kind of document, it said Jonathan Larson, you know, the educator, entomologist from Nebraska Extension, is going to be here. And I was like, oh, we should go. We can go meet Jonathan, you know, this and this. And I think is that the first time we met here?
That's right. Yeah. We were at the state park.
And what did you think when you, like, were you like, oh my gosh, you're a stalker?
We had emailed a couple of times back and forth before that. You had like said, oh, hey, I was the other finalist for that job. And I, you know, we've talked about this over the years, like how guilty I felt because I thought that I shouldn't have gotten the job over you and everything. Like we've had that conversation. It was hard. But then meeting you in person, yeah, it brought back a lot of good memories about when I knew you as a grad student, and I always had an immense amount of respect for you. That was one of the reasons, like I said, that I couldn't believe that we had competed for a job.
Well, and at the time we didn't know it. Like, right. I didn't know it. And the thing is, I never had any hard feelings because you were the best. I thought you were the best person for this job. I got to work with you, which was amazing. We had a great partnership. And I got to be a stay-at-home mom, which I never wanted to do in all of my life. But I got to do that, and I appreciate that part of my life. And it's great. It all completely worked out.
Yeah, it's funny how things work out sometimes.
Yeah. And remember, we were doing, so when I ended up getting the job in Lancaster, we were doing some spider program, and I was living at a hotel. And I kind of just left you with my kid at a pool with a bunch of spiders.
I think that part of what you were saying before about you never know when you're going to run into people again and everything, like entomology is a small world. And having people come up to us at meetings and say they've heard our voices and they like our podcast, saying that we've had an impact on them, knowing that I went to school with people who are now professors and work for the government and have all these jobs from grad school and from undergrad. Just remember that. I mean, like, you're not going to be a student forever if you're a student listening to this. And remember that everybody's going to remember you and everybody's going to know who you are, and treasure that time, but also make sure that you're building bridges and being cool. Like, don't be a jerk.
Like, the network is amazing. Yeah. The network is amazing. It's all like this web, right? And you're kind of stuck together, whether, you know, you can't really escape me, you know?
It's true. So. Yeah, we've built a lot of friendships. We appreciate everybody indulging us for today's episode as we indulged ourselves in the feel goods. Do you feel a little better, Mike?
I do. Yeah. John texted us both last night, be like, something about, like, I'm worried that it could devolve into like a bunch of navel gazing, which is funny because Jody didn't know what that meant. She's like, we're gonna look at belly buttons.
Ew.
I don't know that we completely devolved into navel gazing, but
no, I hope, well, audience, you know, we appreciate you now, but I hope that this was fun for you and interesting and a little bit of a pull the screen back so you can see some of the, you know, the process behind it and just letting us talk about the podcast instead of, you know, interviewing somebody or whatever.
Podcasters, professors, extension professionals, we're people too, you know, entomologists, we're humans. We got backstories. We got troubles. We got tribulations. We got joys and sadnesses.
Can I tell you what really makes me happy though?
Yes.
And I talked about this in one of the ASA things that we did about podcasting. I have this secret happiness podcast that is a bunch of things I have not cut up. That sounds morbid. A bunch of different things that I've cut out and edited away for podcasts that we have produced. So I have a bunch of little things, and I've made some of the funnier ones to me into its own podcast that when I feel sad, I listen to. So it's called the Happiness Podcast for me. maybe I'll put something together and share it with our listeners. Just maybe, you know, like 6 or 7 minutes of maybe outtakes or random conversations that other people may enjoy.
I think that's a great idea. If you listen to the show, if you listen to it all the way through on your podcatcher, you may catch that at the end of many episodes after the outro music and our silly sort of outro theme song and everything, that there's often a little soundbite, a little stinger for people to hear. So how about we make the stinger this time our your 6 or 7 minutes of happy audio?
Okay.
That sound good?
Yeah, as long as you guys give me permission.
As long as I'm not swearing or anything in it.
No, can I bleep? I think it's only been Mike that has said 2 bad words.
Once. Yeah, like put a cricket chirp or some other insect noise.
Okay,
it.
All right.
Jody, do you and John, do you put stingers in yours? Because I almost always put one at the end of mine when I'm editing because I think it's funny.
I do too. I do. Yeah.
Oh, good. Full disclosure, if I'm not the one editing the podcast, I don't go back and listen to people.
And that's why I could put in whatever I want. No,
maybe now we're getting too real. We're not. We don't even subscribe to our own sesh.
I subscribe. I guess if you've lived it,
I don't need to subscribe.
I subscribe and I listen, and it's really funny when my daughter gets in the car and I'm listening to you guys, and she's like, like, and I don't even realize it. And she's just like, really.
Kanye listens to his own album. On that note, we appreciate everybody that does like and subscribe to the show. If you want to help us out, we always appreciate it when you leave a comment or review on the different podcatcher apps. If you just give us some stars on those, it helps others to find the show. You can find us on the web at arthro-pod.blogspot.com. You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes and all of those podcatcher things. You can even find us on Spotify. We are arthro-pod on that platform as well. And you can find the show on Twitter, arthro_pod show on that platform. So I am at Bugman John.
I am at Jody Bugsme, UNL.
And I am at mscarola36.
And that was 100 episodes of Arthropod. We thank you for tuning in. Come back next week or next episode, and we will see you there.
It's time for our insect heroes to put away their nets and pheromone traps. Join us next time, same bug time, same bug channel, as the Arthropod gang make the world safe from poor insect podcasts. Until then,
keep on bugging.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Mike?
Hey.
Hi. Hi, Jonathan.
Greetings, friends. How are you?
Oh, greetings.
Hello, did you try to call me?
I did. You look a little crazy.
Hi, Jonathan.
What's up?
Hi, John.
Michael J. Scavarla, as I live and breathe.
Hey.
Hey. Dr. Scavarla.
Sorry, I was...
Hi, guys.
Ahoy, friends.
You look like you're in like a mission control tower, like you could be... guiding planes or something.
I would love for us to do that someday, for me to be the tower and you guys are my field agents. I can be the Charlie to your angels or whatever.
I'll be an angel, whatever.
All right. Ready to go? You guys want to make a podcast? Lead us in, boss.
Okay.
Do we want to make a podcast? Here's the plan.
Okay.
I don't like that.
Give us the plan.
That you guys are going to pretend that I'm in charge.
You guys ready to talk about ants?
Yeah, girl.
Do you have your favorite ants? Well, yeah, I mean, you can make it up as you go along. Whatever. There's no rules.
Mike, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you the leader?
Am I the leader?
Are you?
I can be the leader. Give me...
I was joking. I'm going to be the leader.
Okay.
It's all good. I just, Mike. you panicked. It was funny for me. All right, let's get some ambient noise. I'm going to catch some of the ambient noise.
I have to hold my breath during that time. Usually I can't stop talking.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, every... No.
Welcome to Bob and Tom with Jody, Mike, and John.
Please do not look at the nozzle.
I appreciate that, John.
Oh, that was for Mike.
And I'll probably screw up because that's what happens.
She's like a free horse just out in the distance.
Wait, she's frozen.
Should I be?
Should I be? No, I'm pretty sure she's just sitting there.
I lost my, what we were talking about. Sorry, that was probably my bad.
Oh yeah, I'm like either half an hour early or 10 minutes late.
Is that the Jody mantra?
Yeah, because if half an hour, I'm like, there's so much I can do in half an hour.
Some interesting.
Time out.
Okay.
We should do the shout out.
Oh, I was going to do it at the end, but do you want to do it now?
Okay, time back in. Never mind.
She's like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell or something. Like, time out, man. Time back in, dude.
How's your levels, Jonathan? You have any little interns messing with your buttons?
No, my buttons have been unmessed with most recently. Unmolested.
She is a lawyer. Like, everything is negotiable. Oh,
good luck with that.
And then it was, funny. I wasn't letting her do what she wanted. This morning, we had a bit of a falling out, but we reconciled by the time we got to daycare.
Are you ready, Mike? Oh, no. He's not on the right thing.
Mike, are you sharing your screen with us?
Yeah, what's happening? I've never.
There was a pop-up that said, hey, you got a call. I clicked on it, and then my entire computer froze up. What? I didn't do anything. What?
Perhaps as the meeting host, I can stop you from doing this. I can remove you from the call.
Yeah. What the heck, man? Ah, there we go. Is that better?
It's much better.
Ah! You kidding me?
Nope. Mike is the honorary 67-year-old professor of the Arthur podcast.
Did you think I would know how to do this stuff?
No, no, I wouldn't.
Could I have... I scrambled to get on. I need 30 seconds to go to the bathroom, and I will be ready.
I do not see any of you, but I can hear you. Let me try closing Skype and getting back on.
Okay.
I closed it and you are still here.
We can't save you.
You'll never be free of us.
Holy cow!
That's really weird, dude. I don't know how you did that.
Jeez. I'm gonna try shutting it down.
Okay, we're just gonna ignore you then.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so... What is the deal with my phone now? I didn't understand it from...
Could you sound any older? What was the sound?
No, it's not like that at all. I cannot reproduce it with the human vocal cords.
We'll have to layer our voices together to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of nuts. It was...
Yeah, like they would have found a giant ant and shot it and be like, oh, shoot. Sorry.
Let me just jot that down.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But Jonathan, don't do blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that, Jody?
Well,
tell me your opinion.
Here's the thing. Neither of you were talking the last one, so I kept having to drag you into it.
Okay, and then this is my new coloring page that I drew.
Nice.
So kids can color while I talk to their parents.
Is that how you sell it?
Well, I don't sell anything. It's free.
I just meant like you're like, here, kid, color this while I talk to your ma.
But we're not, you know, we're not Allie Ward. We don't even use bad words.
We don't even use bad words.
Yeah. We kind of have an outline, and then it just kind of...
goes off the rails.
The shenanigans that you and I get into usually don't come from a place of exact knowledge.
Today when I got on there, though, I had, like, high, like, make me look better type Zoom, and I had, like, eyebrows that weren't even in the right place and stuff, and I was like, ooh, I got to turn all these things off.
Mike's all about Napoleon, so that's why I was like, hey, maybe you can...
Mike is all about Napoleon. He loves him some Napoleon.
That's not a lie, right?
No, it's not a lie.
Okay, I was like...
I really like the way that you put it.
Okay, just checking. I was like, thought that was true. I would pass a lie detector test.
I was writing the next Napoleon episode and was real into it and had no idea what time it was.
You were in your flow state.
I was.
Because you love Napoleon and all that there is to it. I love that about you.
Ashley, she works on ticks in Delaware. She's submitting a symposium idea for the Eastern Branch meeting on the intersection of history and entomology and asked if I would want to give a 15-minute talk on Napoleon.
Oh my gosh, your favorite.
How am I going to compress many hours of stuff into 15 minutes? But I said, yeah, so.
I never know if he's recording or not. Are you recording?
Yeah, this is all on tape.
You have to be careful what you say. Every now and then I'll hear something that I said that I didn't know I said on record.
I appreciate you pointing that out, Jody. Unbelievable, Jonathan.
I've never blackmailed anybody.
True, yet.
I have our idea for next year. We're going to do coffin flies for our Halloween spectacular.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And we'll all be locked in our own coffin underground.
Oh,
while we record?
Our sound would be great.
It would be.
Well, we had like...
why is this what you want?
Jiminy Christmas.
What? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Gosh.
Okay.
No, that's like that's just insane. That is absolutely ridiculous. I'm so sorry.
We don't know.
It's a podcast.
Yes.
We did it. We made a podcast.
Yeah, guys.
A podcast time.
It's a podcast time. We're having a great time on the podcast.
Okay, sir. Are you going to send that to me?
Yes, ma'am. Of course.
Okay. Well, I've got to get on to the next thing.
Have fun.
See you.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. You all have a lovely day. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.